Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We want to thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us and that you've given to us. And as we look back in the past week, your goodness, your grace and your mercy, your shelter and your protection, and we say thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us into your house of worship. We're thankful for the messages that we've already heard. And yet again, Lord, as your word will be opened again, we ask and pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd open our hearts that we may be receptive to it and that we may apply it to our lives. Lord, I ask and pray that you would help me to stay focused on task, Lord, that the message that is to come out, that would be to your honor and to your glory, to your praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, maybe about a month ago now, the Lord has laid on my heart to speak on a topic of attitude. And if you were here, I may repeat some of what was discussed about attitude, what attitude is, the emotion of attitude. And we looked into a familiar portion of scripture in the Old Testament, Jonah. And I think that kind of depicts a perfect picture of the different stages, perhaps, of attitude that you can go through. And also, maybe in our lives as well. As I was studying that portion of scripture, there was something that really stood out to me, and I kind of want to continue on with that theme of attitude. But it has to do with anger. There are two portions of scriptures I'd like to read with the help of the Lord, and if you can open your Bibles with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Though this book talks about faith, but the first couple of, or the verse, verse 4, will speaks about the character that we're going to be reading a little bit more on. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaks. Now, if you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought his firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold, and the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Unto there I wish to read this portion of Scripture. So when we talked about attitude a few weeks back, using the example of Jonah, we know the story of Jonah. You know, God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh. We know that Jonah did not want to. So he gets in a ship and he goes the opposite direction, he goes east. Story goes on, they're in the ocean, a big tempest. The sailors get mad, they don't know what's going on, and he finally says, this is happening because of me. We know the story. They said, throw me overboard. At first, the mariners didn't want to do that. Finally, after rowing and rowing and not getting in anywhere, they finally consented, you know what? We're not going to die because of this man. They take Jonah and they throw him overboard. The story, the big fish comes, swallows him, and in the belly of the fish, Jonah now gets a reality check, and now his attitude changes. God calls the fish to spit Jonah on land, which he does. He goes to Nineveh like he was supposed to, like God wanted him to do that, to tell the people in Nineveh that they need to repent. He had a task. God asked him. He finally did it. When he did it afterwards, he goes out of the city of Nineveh, and he's watching to see what's happening. He's watching to see what's going on. Bear with me for a minute here. I want to pull up that last chapter of Jonah. And I guess what intrigued me about this fourth chapter of Jonah was this dialogue between God and Jonah. And Jonah 4 says it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, Lord, was not this my saying as I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now therefore, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side, and the story goes on that he was looking to see what was happening to the city, and he was very hot and he wanted to die. God then springs up this plant to cover him. And the next day, God sends a worm to eat this plant, and then Jonah's upset again. And this dialogue between God and Jonah, and God asks him again, do you have the right to be angry? And as I was thinking about anger and the right to be angry, it brought me to Cain and Abel. See, as we read earlier, the scripture says that there was an offering to be given to the Lord. It doesn't tell us that God required the offering. It doesn't tell us that God, it was something that he wanted or at a specific time. We don't know the details of that. But an offering was to be given to the Lord. And what struck me about this is that as we go out throughout our day, the things that we do, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, the actions that we do, you see, there's a contrast between Cain and Abel's offering. One was respected and one wasn't. If you see, one was because it was from his heart. It was of the faith. That was Abel's offering. And Cain, well, maybe we can read into it a little bit more and say, well, this is what I have and I'll give you what I have. Scripture tells us that whatever we are to do, are we not to do it as unto the Lord? And if we're to do it as unto the Lord, is it not to be the best? And we find ourselves in these situations where, you know, whether it's at school, and I've been there before, maybe many of you have been there, all of you have been there, where you want to take a test, but you're just not studying, you're not putting your heart into it, and you know what, no, I'll you know, procrast, and then that time comes for you to take that test, and then you don't do well, and then afterwards you're just so upset because you didn't do good. Or even at work, maybe you're given a project to do, and it's just not the thing that you want to do. Maybe it's not a project that would just gives you joy. You just, I don't want it, and you don't give it your all. And then it turns out to be a flop, and it doesn't look good on you or your resume. We find ourselves in these situations. But I want to bring up from the very beginning what God has said. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If you give your 100%, will not that not be accepted? And what's interesting is he goes on and he says, and if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. There's room for sin when we don't give our best, when our offering is not the best. We then look at it from a different perspective. The perspective that Cain had when he was not respected was an angry attitude. He says his countenance fell. Maybe we can relate sometimes to that. But here's the blessing in it. Here's the flip side. In verse 7, where he says, if you do well, shall not it be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire. In other words, that temptation is going to be there. That temptation of maybe finding some way of getting back at maybe the teacher or maybe your boss or something because of what he's given to you. But it says, thou shalt rule over him. In other words, we have that choice to make when things don't go well and that temptation is at our door. We have that choice on how to act or to react. If you recall, the difference between being tempted and being tested. Being tested is something that God's going to allow so that it draws you closer to him. Being tempted is something that Satan does to bring you and draw you away from God. See, Satan will never take your hand and make you do something. Satan will never take your physical body or your physical mind and say, hey, you're going to do this, to make you do it, to have that excuse, well, it wasn't me, Satan did it. No. Whatever comes our way, we always will have a rule over it. We always will have that choice, that decision-making choice. Am I going to go through with it or not? we see a different attitude when God asked Cain, "Where is Abel?" And how did he respond? "I know not." Lie. "Am I my brother's keeper?" See, sometimes we fall into that same category as well, where we don't want to deal with it because it doesn't go our way. It's not something that we wanted. We wanted the best and we didn't get it. What do I care? I didn't get it. And as I was reading, the question came up, can we as Christians be angry? Can we as Christians be angry? Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." See, we can be angry, but what do we do with that anger? What do we allow that anger to do to us, to entertain our mind, our thoughts? Do we want to get revenge? Anger is dangerous. It twists our motivations and clouds our decision making. Worse, it can lead us to harm others. A lot of us, when we're sitting in traffic driving or somebody cuts you off, all of a sudden, snap, something happens, and maybe you're just, rage comes over you. Unbridled anger can fuel gross injustice. See, it's not a sin to be angry. It's what you do with that anger that counts. We even have references of scripture. Christ, when he went into the temple and he saw the selling and the buying that was going on, he was upset, he was angry, he threw over the tables. But his anger was a righteous anger. Anger is also an efficient motivator. It spurs us to action, which could be a good thing. But the anger dwelling within us inhibits our work to build and to flourish. There was a quote that I like as I read. It said, "Anger should be a way station, not a destination." We're encouraged by James 1:19. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We had a good example of that with Christ this morning in the Bible study, as Brother Joe pointed out. Don't allow sin in your thoughts when you're angry. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that you render none evil for evil unto any man, but ever following that which is good among yourselves and to all men." And when we get upset and we get mad, a lot of times we want to see justice. And sometimes that justice is evil. And Scripture tells us not to render evil for evil to any man. What is attitude? Attitude is a settling way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. It's the mood that you present to other people, a reflection of your feelings regards a specific task that you dislike doing, which may show by your lack of enthusiasm or even doing an inferior job. If you're in a situation that makes you sad, mad, or consistently miserable, at some point you're going to develop a bad attitude. And it's how you behave around people. or when you come back with witty remarks, backtalking, or being rude. We can characterize attitudes as good, bad, right, wrong, obedient, disobedient, combative, neutral, positive, negative, anger, doubt, frustrated, carelessness, I don't care, and the list goes on and on. But we can categorize them in three categories: positive attitude, negative attitude, or neutral attitude. And if we go back and we look at the example with Cain and Abel, are we giving God the best? Are we giving him, are we really trying and giving him the best, or are we just giving him the leftovers and keeping the best for ourselves? Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting." So if you stop and reflect this past week on your actions, what type of an attitude did you have? And when you got mad or you got angry, what did you do with it? We can be angry, but we're not to sin. And I think if we use this example of Cain and Abel, and we see that God has made a way for us to escape, that when sin is at our door, that we have that choice of either to do away with a sin, or we sin. And we see that Cain took that road of sin. When they were in the field, Cain killed Abel. And this is exactly what God told Cain. He says, look, he's just going to be at your door, but you're going to have rule over it. I'm telling you, you could say no to the things that are going to happen. But Cain did heed to that. Sin was at his door and he killed his brother. And as a result, even the ground itself that he would till was against him. So as we leave this place and as we think about our attitudes, and perhaps when we have a bad attitude or somebody tells us we have a bad attitude, let's stop and just reconsider. And then all that we do, let's do it as we're doing it as unto the Lord. Let's give him our best, not our leftovers. May God bless his word.